tonight to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13. And we're just going to look at a few of these verses tonight. Try to get down to verse 14 probably this evening as we look through this passage. Paul kind of becomes the focus here in chapter 13. And he will remain so throughout the rest of this book. We're going to see Peter brought back in on occasion, but it will be with Paul when we find Peter mentioned again. The rest of this book, the book of Acts, is focused on the missionary journeys of Paul. And so we're going to be seeing these stories about Paul's interaction in these different places with the different churches that he would help found or were already in those places where he's going, and we'll see Paul's work as he goes forward here. And as we go along, we'll try to bring in the epistles of Paul's writing here as we go back and look at these particular places where he's going, and then later Paul's writing to them. And we see a little bit through the epistles, the after effects of what Paul has been able to work there as the Spirit of God, of course, works in Paul's exercises in these particular areas that he and first Barnabas are going to, and later Silas and Paul, and then those that are gathered with him. Of course, in this passage, we'll see John Mark and Dr. Luke being a part of this team as they first go out here in chapter 13. This is the beginning here in chapter 13 of Paul's first missionary journey. We have three missionary journeys that Paul went on recorded for us in the Scriptures. I believe there was a fourth one given the history that we can find in regards to that, but we don't have anything in the Scripture about that fourth one. As far as it being called or shown that there was a fourth missionary journey of Paul. But there are results of that journey that we find in history that lay claim to the fact that Paul did go on a fourth missionary journey before he was executed in Rome. And we see in history some of the results of that. But we'll get to that as we get toward the end of this particular passage or particular book here. From this point on, again, Paul is the focus here of the book of the Acts. And here he'll begin this missionary journey with Barnabas. And the next journeys will be with Silas that we see brought into place here. But here, as they begin in chapter 13, Paul is—he's not forefront in this journey. In fact, it's Barnabas that is forefront. Barnabas is the lead here in this particular journey. It will be, however, in this journey that Barnabas will take a back seat, and Paul will kind of move to the forefront. Whatever reason that was, we know it was by the hand of the Lord that this is accomplished. But nevertheless, we have Paul moving to the forefront. And we see here, we ended last week there in verse number 25, or last Sunday rather, in verse 25 of chapter 12, that we have Barnabas and Saul returning from Jerusalem to Antioch. This is where we find them in chapter 13. And it says, when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So John Mark is with them. He is the writer, of course, of the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. And we know Luke is with them as well, because Luke is the one recording these things for us about what happens and what takes place there. They had been, of course, to Jerusalem to help those in the drought-stricken areas and the brethren there that were suffering because of the drought. They had taken them money from these other places, especially from Antioch, to help there with the problems that they were facing. And now they have returned, and they're giving a report of what's taken place and what they were able to do there. And so we begin in verse 1, taking up with chapter 13, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." And so these specific men that we are mentioned here, that are mentioned for us here, some of them likely, especially Simeon, who that was called Niger, likely a black man. And so you already see a diversity there among the church. There's probably not any white folks in here yet. Maybe there's a few when you get to when you get on further into Rome. But these are primarily Middle Eastern folks. And now we have some Niger there being mentioned. And of course, you had, you know, for years people, because of the theory of evolution, of course, taught that black people didn't have any souls, that they were not fully evolved, and all of that other garbage that came out of Charles Darwin. And here we have, nevertheless, the Lord shows us here that He very much they had souls just as you and I do. There is no difference in them. In fact, He will tell us in chapter 17 of the book of Acts that we are of all one blood, even from, of course, from Adam and Eve. We all come forth from them. And so we see here this group that's being mentioned here at Antioch. They had, in that church, there were notable teachers. There were notable prophets there within the church. And as we've already mentioned in our study here in the book of Acts, we saw already how important and how necessary it was to have those folks there in the church that were the prophets, that were the teachers, because they did not have the full revelation of Christ. They did not have the New Testament. And so they were absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God giving revelation to them as to what they were to do and how they were to move forward, the things that they were to look to, the doctrines that they were being taught, the revelation that was being revealed to them about how God wanted them to move, how God wanted them to be, and so on. So they were absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God. And so these folks here, the prophets and the teachers, are absolutely necessary that they would be able to teach them, be able to guide them, as the Lord would lead them by His Spirit into all truth. And so you have here this group that are noted in the church at Antioch. And it says, verse 2, "And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" And so the Spirit of God declares to the church there at Antioch, "Separate to me, bring out Barnabas, bring out Saul. I have called them to a specific work." And so He is declaring to the church at Antioch to separate them apart from the rest. Bless them. They're going to ordain them here, as we see in verse number 3, to do this work that God had called them to do. Now, we've already read in chapter 9, Paul will give account to that in chapter 26 as well, of his conversion when the Lord saved him there on the road to Damascus. Turn back with me to Galatians chapter 1, and let's see, as Paul gives an account of this, Galatians chapter 1, and begin with me in verse number 15, and we'll read down through verse number 18 concerning this, as Paul tells of his conversion, his calling to the work of the Lord, his preparation, the teaching that God gave him. We see here in Galatians 1, it says in verse 15 of this passage, he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul says his call to preach came at the same time as his conversion. God had declared to him that he had separated him not only unto himself for salvation, but he had separated Saul also unto the work of the ministry to preach the gospel as he would send him to these different locations to declare Christ. And so this came simultaneously together here, his conversion and his call to preach the gospel. And it tells us there that when he was called, he conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't go out seeking some man to teach him specifically, but the Lord drew him for a purpose to teach him himself. And it says, verse 17, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. This period of time was 3 years that Paul was in study there in Arabia. He engaged in work with the church for at least another 10, 12 years after his conversion. And so we have him now coming on this again about 46 A.D., somewhere thereabout. About 46 A.D. This takes place, and tells us there that in Damascus, in Jerusalem, he is doing this work, engaging in this work. Galatians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. We read last time when he was in Damascus and in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9 and verse 30. Remember, he left from Jerusalem area there, or Antioch rather, went over to Tarsus. Now in chapter 13, he's come back to Antioch. He was in Antioch in chapter 11 as well. Now he's come back to Antioch after going to Jerusalem. So we see Paul already engaged in this work. He's already doing the work that the Lord is sending him to do. But now the Lord brings to pass or separates him specifically in this work before the church here at Antioch to do this work that he has called him to do. So he's been in training for these several years. In the wilderness there in Arabia, he was trained, he says, directly by the Lord, as the Lord would teach him there. And that being part of the reason he could be called an apostle, because he was trained specifically by the Lord, and he was made apostle to the Gentiles. But it says there in verse number 3, and when they had fasted and prayed, when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Here Paul and Barnabas are ordained by the church, sent out. We see there the authority that the Lord gives to the church at Antioch there. He tells the church to separate them out. He does not say specifically, all right, Paul, all right, Barnabas, get gone, but rather he tells the church to separate them out. They are ordained there to do this work in the laying on of hands that we see, and they send them away for this work of missionary as they would go forth. So they, being sent forth, verse 4, by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And so here Paul and Barnabas and their company that goes with them, they go forth into the mission field, released by the church to do this work, to go forth to preach the gospel, to start churches, to baptize believers, and they go forth here on this journey to do so. And it tells us there, verse number 4, they were sent forth. That word sent means to thrust forth. To thrust forth. And so they are sent or thrust forth by the Holy Ghost to do this work. To go forward and do this work in these places where God would send them to go. And so we read there in verse number 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John Mark, that is, to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Now that in Hebrew means son of Jesus. That's what that word Bar means. We see that with an example of Simon. Peter, of course, he was called Simon Bar-Jonah. That word Bar means son of. And so you see Simon, son of Jonah. Here you see Bar-Jesus, or the son of Jesus. This man was calling himself. And so apparently he's declaring himself the Messiah here, or at least the son of the Messiah. And he is, as it's declared here to us, he is a sorcerer and a false prophet. A sorcerer and a false prophet. It goes on to tell us here in verse 8, a little bit more about him. But let's read on here, verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So Sergius Paulus, he is the deputy of the country, or proconsul likely, in this area here of Paphos. And this guy, Bar-Jesus, this sorcerer, false prophet, somehow he has gotten the ear of Sergius Paulus for whatever reason. Whether he maybe performed some work, maybe there was some prophecy he gave and got it right one time. I don't know what it is, but whatever the case may be, maybe he just performed really good magic tricks. But whatever the case may be, Sergius Paulus had this guy in his court, and so this guy had the ear of Sergius Paulus here, this guy claiming to be the son of Jesus. And when he heard of Paul and Barnabas in town here, he wanted to hear the gospel. He wanted to hear the word of God. He wanted to hear this proclaimed. No doubt he had heard something about this new religion, about these followers of Jesus that were throughout the Roman Empire by this time and spreading quickly. And so he's wanting to hear from them. It tells us there in verse 8, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation. In other words, that's what Elymas means there. It means wizard or sorcerer. Tells us there, withstood them. He didn't want Saul and Barnabas preaching here to Sergius Paulus. He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now this guy's claiming to be the son of Jesus, but he is doing everything he can to keep Sergius Paulus from hearing about Jesus. How interesting that is. And so it says, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Paul pulled no punches here with this Bar-Jesus. He didn't play around with him. He called him out for what he was. He declared him as a false prophet. He declared him even a child of the devil. He claims to be the son of Jesus, but he declared very quickly to him, you're not the son of Jesus, you're a child of the devil, he called him. And so he exposed him here for who he is. And we know this was by the power of God. This was by the Spirit of God that this was done. It tells us there that in verse 9, for Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost and set his eyes on him. So when that happens, when the power of the Spirit of God comes forward, this man was not in any way able to deny these things that Paul is declaring of him here. O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and the darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. So he's immediately struck blind here as Paul declares what the Spirit of God is going to do to him. And so it tells us there in verse 12, it says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. God in His grace saw fit to save this Sergius Paulus and revealed to him Christ, this one who is over the Isle of Paphos here. And so he is saved here at the proclamation of who Bar-Jesus is, and no doubt the preaching of the gospel here is Paul and Barnabas are called to do that very thing for him, and that he might hear the word of God. And so he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. It says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And so John Mark here leaves them in verse 13, and he returns back to Jerusalem. Now, it tells us here again, Paul and his company. So there's we know at least four of them. There may be others that are traveling with them, but we know at least those four that we mentioned earlier. They traveled to Perga in Pamphylia to the north, and there John Mark departs from them, which we don't know why, but we hear anyway, but we find out more about it later, about why John Mark will depart there. Some believe that John Mark just simply became, may have been a little angry over the fact that Paul becomes the lead here. He kind of takes the focus away from his uncle Barnabas, and that he kind of gets jealous for his uncle Barnabas, and that's the reason. We don't know that for sure, but we see a little bit more later on in regards to this, that it wasn't necessarily a pleasant time or a pleasant thing that John would depart from them, but it was Paul's desire to restore him and make sure that he was brought back in later on, in which he was. This was, we're not given that account here in verse 13. Verse 14, he goes on to say, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Now, there are, I think, three Antiochs at this time. I just drew a blank. I think there's three. That three different places that are called Antioch. And so that can get a little confusing, especially when you're reading through the book of Acts here, in regards to which place they are in. They don't go back to where they were at the church at Antioch, but here's Antioch in Pisidia that they come to, and they went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And we'll hold off here in our study and pick up in verse number 15, Lord willing, next time, as Paul will have the opportunity here coming into the synagogue. They know these guys are originally from Jerusalem, and they want to hear what they have to say here at the synagogue. And so this is kind of Paul's method as he goes forward into these other countries, these other places, these other cities. As he goes in, he seeks that ready audience that's already there. And that ready audience is, of course, the synagogue where the Jews are meeting. And so he goes to them first, having that ready audience, and he preaches to them the gospel of Christ, declaring Jesus is the Messiah that they were looking for and have always been looking for. And some hear him, many do not. It causes him a lot of trouble and strife as he goes forward in his missionary journeys. But we see this is how Paul starts out these journeys, by going first to the synagogues and preaching the gospel of Christ to them. And of course, he will later concern himself mainly only with the Gentiles, but as of right now, he's going to the synagogues and declaring the gospel of Christ in those places. Next time we'll take up with Paul's message there to them at Antioch of Pisidia. All right, let's all stand and we'll be dismissed.